Well, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
Today,
I
will be taught the Word of God.
I boldly confess.
My mind is alert.
My heart is
receptive.
I will never be the same.
I'm about to receive
the incorruptible,
the indestructible,
the ever living
seed of the Word of God.
I will never be the same.
Never, never, never.
I will never be the same.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we've been talking for some time about the gift of God, which is what James has been talking about today. He's been busy on the streets presenting the gift
Amen.
To people that don't even know it exists. You'd be surprised the people that you actually talk to, and they don't even know there is a God. I mean, in these days and times, they don't know what churches are or what they're for. They're community buildings like the Knights of Columbus. They don't know. And if you're not exposed to Jesus, how are you going to know him?
Right.
You don't realize he's a living being. Well, sometimes you got to go into the dark places. That's our job. You know, a lot of us, you hear these testimonies, we were in these big meetings and everything, and oh, they were so great. You know, they were just, all the presence was so great. You know, I just want to camp here. You see that in the Bible when they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah.
And they said, Lord, let's just build some tents here and just stay right here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. This is a war room. You don't realize what this is, guys.
Yeah.
We can't build a tent here.
Yeah.
This is not what I was sent for. I'm sent for that cross.
Yeah.
And this is a war room talk about that cross.
Amen.
That's what that was all about. But they wanted to stay right there in the presence. And so many of us get in these big meetings in that, and we want to stay right there because of the presence and the glory and the peace and the rest in our life. We'll get to that state sometime. But that's the refreshing time for when we're on the front line out there. If that's all we ever did, we'd never fulfill our ministry. The job's out there.
Right.
You know, the place that we really impart is out there.
Yes.
It's the people that are hurting that you run across in your everyday life. You know, every moment of your life you're in ministry. Ministers of reconciliation. You don't have to reconcile somebody that's already reconciled, you know. You impart to them and you grow together and you receive one from another to get to grow. But you can't reconcile somebody that's already been reconciled. If you've been given the ministry of reconciliation, you go where the reconciliation is needed. Now, you may have a prayer ministry where you're praying and intercede and stand your ground, and this is what you do. You intercede. Now, you're just as much on the front line as you would be out there. But you have to be a special person for that. You have to... Those are the ones that are really intercessors, are denying themselves in their other area of their of others areas of their life that people don't realize they are. They're the odd ducks. You know, that's not a sermon either. But I wanted to explain that each of us has to position ourselves to hear, and we have to be ready to present the gift within. Every one of us has that gift to impart. You can't impart what you don't have. I was thinking earlier this morning about how many different sermons I've heard on the free gift of righteousness. A lot of times when you go into church and you hear a sermon on righteousness, if you title a tape or a series Righteousness of any way, shape, or form, it sits there. Because while people want to know God, they want the presence, they want this, every time they get into a sermon on righteousness, what they wind up is getting beat up and walking out with their fingers all crinched because they're thinking about how this is all white-knuckle Christianity and I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. How hard it is.
How hard it is. And that's the sermons you get when you get a sermon on righteousness. Well, to me, righteousness and right standing with God is an exciting subject. While there, like I've said so many times in this little series here, we don't understand it. We don't understand what it is. We think righteousness is making myself right. You can't earn it. It cannot be given. It can be given to you, but you have to receive it. It's something that you are. Either you are right or you are wrong. There's no middle road. If you say, well, I'm neutral. No, there's no neutral. Either you're saved or you're not.
Right.
Either you're born again or you're not. Either you're in light or you're in darkness. Either you're walking with God or you're not walking with God. Now, you know, you're one of the other camps. There is no middle ground. What we want to do, and what the sermons that I've heard over my life, is we believe we can be in the middle ground and make ourselves right by works. Isn't that what you've heard? If you kind of put it down in a kind of a condensed version of the sermons, that's what you've heard. And I'm sorry, it's not right. It's not what the Word teaches. Righteousness is simply being right.
Amen.
Well, how do you find out if you're right? Well, you got to go to the one who determines right and wrong, right? There is no other place to go. You got to go to the Word to find out if you're right.
Amen.
Or if you're wrong. And then if you find out if you're wrong, what do you do about it? You make it right.
Amen.
Who decides whether you're right or wrong? God? No. All He did was He said, you do this and you're right.
Amen.
That's all He said. I present to you life and death. Choose right. Choose life. Choose this. So the only one that can determine whether I'm right or wrong is me. Okay, well, I'm right. No. It's got to line up with what God says is right. You know, you can go into all the courts that you want to go into and stand before the judge and say, not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guilty or are you not? What are they going to base that on? Not whether you said you're guilty or not, and not whether the other guy, your defense attorney that's on your side trying to get them to think something they're not, or trying to manipulate and bend, he has to do it based on the law. Now, if you were actually doing 75, I don't care how much you say you were doing 55, if the truth is known and the gun was on you that says you're doing 75, you're doing 75. You can't make it any other speed. Well, I didn't see it. Well, the sign was there. It was covered with bushes, but it was there. And besides that, we all know, you see these signs going into towns all the time, says, unless otherwise posted, speed limit 20. What's that mean? Means the speed limit for the whole town is 20 unless they say it's 35.
Yeah.
And we know in Missouri there is a written law that the speed limit is 55 unless otherwise posted. Now gravel roads are 35 unless otherwise posted. You know, there is limits that don't have to be posted that everybody knows. So you don't have to see the sign. If I'm driving down a blacktop road and didn't see the speed limit of 55, I know it's 55. Well, it's the same way with this. There are certain things that God's built into every man that determines whether he's right or wrong.
Amen.
It doesn't even have to be born again. He knows whether it's right or wrong.
Uh-huh.
Now, we like to make our own law on what's right or wrong. But if you're really going to be right, you got to do it God's way.
Amen.
Well, what makes him think he's got the right? Because he's the man. He's the creator. Life comes from him. Everything comes from him.
Amen.
I mean, if he determines I'm done, I'm done. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's all gone. You know, it's right or it's wrong. It's hot or it's cold. You know, so we need to live our life that way. Actually, it's harder to live wrong than it is to live right.
That's right.
We don't realize how hard it is to live wrong till we're living wrong.
Uh-huh.
And we start seeing it from the right angle of view. When you actually step in like these men that James talked about today, when they found out what right was and actually stepped into the good things of God, now they've experienced something they've been running from all their life and didn't realize what good there is there and what peace and rest is there. Yeah. Somebody that has been right and then gets wrong knows.
Yeah.
I mean, he can run all he wants to run, but he knows
mm-hmm.
that his real peace and his real rest is over here in being right. You know, it's just very simple. God has made a way, but he will not make us walk in it.
That's right.
Okay, let's go to Psalm 34. But see, we need to hear these things. We need to constantly hear why we want to be right. Why? What makes us right? And then carry that on beyond our daily life in the church, carrying it on into our everyday life in our worldly systems. The world wants us to be right based on their determination of what's right and wrong. And the Christians tend to do the same thing. We want to be right with this group and then right with this group. We want the circumstances and the situations and the people we are with and their moral character determine whether we're right or wrong. And really, our set standards of right has already been set. And once we got born again, we really have the ability to choose the other, but not really the right anymore. You know, God. I mean, we say, "Well, I got the right to do what I want to do." You do, from a worldly standpoint. But from the born again citizen child of God, you have a commandment to walk as He walked.
Amen.
So, if you're not walking as He walked, then what are you? You're wrong. Even though you're born again. So, as I've been saying over the past few weeks, holiness is not something everybody can do. You can't just walk holiness. You have to have the right to walk holy.
Amen.
You get right with God when you get born again.
Yes.
Then holiness is a result of the righteous standing
yes,
with God.
Amen.
It is a fruit following, it's a way of life that follows being right with God. Unholiness and unrighteousness, what is that? Un means what? Means not, right? So unrighteousness is not being right.
Right.
Now you can be, if you want to walk with the world out there and want to run around with the all of the dark places, you can say that you are righteous with them.
Uh-huh.
Because you're right with them and their lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
Am I making sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Now you're not right with God, but you're right with that lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Because that's their standard of living.
Uh-huh.
What happens when you get right with God and you're trying to walk with them? Now, as far as they're concerned, you are unrighteous.
Yeah.
You're not right with them anymore. So just to tag yourself righteous doesn't really mean anything. You're right with what?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you right with the standard over here set by the world? Or are you right with God?
Amen.
If you're going to be right with God, then you're going to have to walk the holy life that God says to walk. That's a result of being right with Him. What credentials do you want in your life? You can't walk both. So if you want to be right with God, you're going to have to do what God says is right. That eliminates this white-knuckle Christianity. If you're walking white-knuckle Christianity, or you got to just make yourself do it, you're trying to keep your carnal nature in the world's way and still be right with God. You're being a Pharisee. You're doing the same thing they did. And you're being the whitewashed tomb with dead bones inside.
Uh-huh.
well, I just can't do that. From your carnal nature, you can't. But when you get right with God and you make your choices to be right with God, then God puts His grace and mercy on it.
Amen.
You try on purpose walking with God and spend a season with God, just walking right. You'll find a peace and a joy in that walking and things happening around you that you would not ordinarily have happen. And you'll recognize the difference. And then try walking in the darkness of the world, in the things that they habitually walk in, and see what the difference in your feeling and the what goes on inside you. There's a big difference. You'll recognize the difference. And the reason is the life flow comes from being right with God. It comes from that holy life that He's telling us to walk. There's a product and a fruit that comes from that. Psalms 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the uncompromisingly righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. Wow. Let's back up. What man, verse 12, what man is he who desires life and longs for many days that he may see good? Anybody here want that? Long life? I mean, and see good during that life? Well, I'm sure I want that. You're a fool if you don't. Verse 13, it says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek, inquire for, and crave peace. Pursue and go after it. There's your formula. You keep your tongue and you keep your eyes. And depart from evil. Well, what's he trying to tell us? Walk right with God. Verse 15, then the eyes of the Lord are toward the uncompromisingly righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. You want to get your prayers answered? You want to have the heart and the ear of God? Walk right. If you're not walking right, then guess why your prayers aren't answered and why things are going on in your life? Because you're not walking right. It's almost like you unplug.
Uh-huh.
Well, you're going to get your supply from the world or from God. You're going to get your peace from the world or from God. You're going to get your daily walk and the things around you, that surround you, and the things that happen to you. The circumstances are going to be determined by your walk with God. Not by the world. The circumstances of your life are not determined by the world. When you get born again, your circumstances are determined by your walk with Him.
Amen.
Even though you're walking in the world. But if you're not walking with God, then the world determines your circumstances.
Right.
So there's a big difference between walking right and walking wrong. Mm-hmm. The fruits and the effect come from one or the other. Now, we just think things happen. Que sera, sera, what will be, will be. The old song. I hate that song. Que sera, sera, what will be, will be. I don't believe that.
Amen.
I just simply don't. Now, if you're not walking with God, then que sera, sera, what will be, will be. Man, I don't like that kind of... I don't want somebody else determining what happens in my life.
Amen.
I want control of that. And the only way I can get control of that is to allow God to be my righteousness.
Yes,
and be right with Him. And to walk the way He said walk. Verse 18 of Psalm 33. Behold, the Lord's eye is upon those who fear Him, who revere and worship Him with awe, who wait for Him and hope in His mercy and loving kindness to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. Our inner selves wait earnestly for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For in Him does our heart rejoice, because we have trusted, relied on, and been confident in His holy name. Let Your mercy and loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us in proportion to our waiting and hoping for You. It says in proportion to our waiting and hoping on You, in proportion to our right standing with God, is what you could say. If you're waiting and hoping on Him, you're right with God. You've got your eyes turned towards Him. You're waiting. So what's going on in our lives, in our day-to-day life, is determined by our waiting upon Him.
Amen.
Our right standing with Him. I guess what I'm asking for today is a heart check.
Amen.
That's what kind of God gave me a while ago, a heart check. It's a heart check. We need to be doing that every day of our life. What is the motive behind what we do and where we go? What is our motive in our daily life? Do we walk with God here, but not here? Do we let our carnal nature determine how far we go with God? Or do we let God determine how far we go with Him? By just simply yielding. You know, our answer to Him should be, yes, Lord.
Amen.
When we see a commandment in the Word, it should be, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Not well, that makes me uncomfortable. Man, I can't really do that. What part of you can't do it? Your carnal nature. What part of it hurts and is hard? Your carnal nature. But to be spiritually minded is life. Romans 8 says.
Life and peace.
Well, to be carnally minded is
death.
So if I'm allowing my carnal nature to determine how far I can go with God and determine how uncomfortable it is to walk that, then guess what I'm looking for? I'm looking for death. I'm looking for separation from God. I'm looking for unrighteousness. Well, guess who supplies then? The world system, the devil, and all of that stuff that's out there is supplying my circumstances and things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just made a choice,
right.
You see. How hard is it to walk with God? It's pretty hard on your carnal nature.
Yes.
How hard is it on your spirit? Man, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard at all. It's really not hard at all. Will it cost you something? Your carnal nature.
Yep.
It will make you uncomfortable and will make the people around you uncomfortable. But what's that? It'll make God happy. It'll make His anointing flow in. It'll make Him determine your friends that you have and the circumstances of life. Man, they can have all kinds of crises and it not affect you.
That's right.
Because goodness and mercy follow you.
Amen.
I mean, we need to really, really... reason pastors don't teach this is because they don't understand it themselves. They don't understand this right standing with God. No matter how hard they try, I've heard it so much. And to me, it grieves my heart because they're teaching their people the do's and don'ts. Which the do's and don'ts are important. But if they're just do's and don'ts from the carnal nature angle of it, they don't yield anything.
Right.
Their right standing then is based on their ability.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have the ability to walk right with
That's
God.
Right.
I can't do it. And neither can anybody else.
Amen.
So they're giving them a kind of a hope. But they're basing it, whether they think they are or not, they're basing it on the law.
Uh-huh.
Which Jesus, God Himself says, you can't walk this.
Right.
That's why I put the mercy seat up there.
Yep, amen.
So you can run to mercy. And I can supply when you come to me. So you can choose to walk it and I supply the way.
Hallelujah.
So it grieves me when I see that being taught, the so-called holiness talk and the so-called righteousness talk, all it is, they're basing on carnal nature, and it won't work.
Right.
It won't work. It's based on my ability.
Uh-huh.
Right standing with God and real holiness is based on His ability, not
Amen.
Mine,
That's right.
and my choosing to walk in it.
Yes.
Now, what it means is I have to be more determined to walk it and to make those choices.
Yes.
I have to be more in tune with God than ever. I have to
Amen.
Kind of put myself as a sacrifice out
yes.
here. And say, even though I want that, even though that's what they tell me to do, even though everybody is doing that, and even though my boss is telling me to do it, it's not right,
mm-hmm.
based on God's word. Well, that's business. Fellas, if your business don't line up with what's right with God, it's based on the world system,
that's
and it's
right.
going to fail.
Oh, yeah.
But if you base your business on God's standard and system, then what is it? It's blessed of God. It's tapped into heaven's economy, and it's not based on man's economy. It'll prosper where nobody else does.
Yep.
I know testimony after testimony of people that call these ministers. One of them called this one minister, and he said, "Man, my business is failing. I can't buy a job." He said, "Things are going down." And he said, "Well, are you a tither?" He said, "Well, yes. You know that I am. I'm a tither. I tithe everything. So bring your tithe checks over here, your stubs." So he brought his tithe stubs over there, and together they held those tithe stubs up before the Father. And now it wasn't just a very short time, because he declared it.
Amen.
He stood and took his ground. He said, "This is mine, and you're not stealing it no longer." The devourer doesn't have to stop unless you enforce him.
That's
enforce
right.
that. He was walking right with God. He was doing what was right, but he wasn't enforcing his stand. So when they came together and agreed, and for it is written, that check is written. It is written. Now they had something to stand on. See, they stood on the word and what was written. They had proof, and it held up in court. And that's what you need in your court of life. So then after that, he calls it, "Man, I go anywhere I want to get a job. I got to turn them away. I can't do them all."
Yeah.
Because it just, within a few weeks, it just flip-flopped. Because he took his ground. He was right with God, but not enforcing his righteousness.
Right. Right.
And many of us are there. We just kind of lay back and let things happen. We don't use righteousness in the way that it's supposed to be. If I'm right with God, then what are you doing trying to devour here?
Amen.
I can hold that up before the enemy and say, "Hey, I'm right with God." "No, you're not. You did this, okay?
Father, I
repent of that. I did that. I take account of it. And according to 1 John 1, 9, you said you'd wash me from all unrighteousness. Now I'm right."
Amen.
"Now what are you going to do about that, devil?"
Mm-hmm.
"Well, I don't know." And he leaves. The word says he'll flee when you resist him. Well, you resist him with your right standing with God. You resist him with the authority of the word. You resist him with the blood of Jesus and the covenant that you make. The name, the blood, and the word. And you lay your life down.
Yeah.
If you're laying your life down, then you're not. It doesn't matter what they do to you, because your life's laid down.
Yes.
You've laid it down, and the Father now takes it. Now he's my son. He's walking with me. He's submitted. And now, if you get to him, you got to get to me. So they got to go through God to get to you. And that's what you do when you find out that what real righteousness is. It's just simply right standing. And what real holiness is. Flows from the right standing, and you walk that on purpose, making that determine how does this that I'm doing right here line up with this holy walk with God. Can I say that I see Jesus do that? If Jesus won't stand there with you and help you in what you're doing, and it's not transparent, that they can't look through that and see Jesus, then I'm in the wrong place. Now, that's a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard. Because they should be able, and I can't tell you I walk that all the time. But it's what brings me back every time.
Amen.
Okay? Whenever I know that I'm wrong and off-center, and all of us get there, I look at that and say, like old Matt Gober with that card in his pocket, I look at it, and this here is stopping them being transparent. And seeing Jesus. He won't stand here with me. You know, he will let you argue with one another and fight and fuss and smoke and drink and all the other stuff, but he won't do it with you.
That's right.
He will allow you to do it. Well, I'm out of his will. I'm not right no more in those areas, see? So if I don't want that to plug up the flow, if I don't want the anointing's plugged up, if I don't want the things that surround those areas of life operating, then I'd better get right again.
Amen.
I chose it, see? That's what I'm trying to get across to us all. I made that choice. God will honor my choice. But He won't do it with me. It plugs things up. And there are things that follow these things. That's why the devil operates there. He wants them operating. He wants you unplugged from right standing. Because when you're unplugged from right standing, you're automatically on His ground.
Uh-huh.
And then if we don't see that, I pray that the Holy Spirit will keep that before our eyes.
Amen.
He always does.
Yes.
But sometimes we're hard of hearing when it happens. Now, is that a white-knuckle Christianity? No, it's not white-knuckled at all. Because God showed it to us, I chose that, and I can unchoose it. I have a right to choose right and wrong anytime, anywhere, under any circumstances. And He can turn it around the second that I choose right. But now what happens when I do choose right? Now what's the enemy try to bring in? Guilt,
uh-huh.
Condemnation,
right.
And memories.
Uh-huh.
You failed last time. How many times have you gone back to God? It doesn't matter how many times I've gone back to God. That has nothing to do with it. If I go a million times, He'll deal with it a million times.
Yes,
as long as I'm dealing with it.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That's the key. I have to deal with it. In order for Him to. It doesn't mean that I've got to complete the action. It means I make the decision and He plugs in the action and the grace. Okay? That makes sense? Now, when I see you fall and slip and slide around, I don't know that you took care of it or not.
Uh-huh.
All I know is what I see. Do I have a right to judge you on that? No, not at all. I can't hold that against you. I can't bring that up during my next argument with you. I have no right to. Especially if I knew you asked forgiveness for it.
Amen.
And you took care of it once. You might be in or out of it now. I don't know. And I have no right to judge that at all.
Right.
I'm not your judge. I have to treat you as if it was already dealt with. That's my job. To encourage you, to lift you up, to bless you, and to walk as right as I can so I'm always ready to help you.
Amen.
That's my job. And I may not always succeed at that. But man, God has given us so much.
Yes.
He has blessed us so much. And that's how you walk a holy life with God. You walk a holy life by living in these principles and judging yourself according to what's right, according to His way. What is His way? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, thinking the best of every person, taking no account of a suffered wrong. Man, that's not easy, but it becomes easy when you live them, when you make them one step at a time, one day at a time, one decision at a time, and stay constantly looking at yourself and correcting yourself along the line. Constantly. You can't fix yesterday, and you can't do nothing about tomorrow, but living it right today. So what are you living? You're living a holy life.
Amen.
If you sit there and worry about your ability to live it, you'll never live it. But if you live it one step at a time, one decision at a time, one moment at a time, one word at a time, when you do that, you'll look back and say, hey, I've covered a lot of ground.
Hallelujah.
I have lived a holy life, thanks to God's grace and mercy.
Amen.
Not in my ability, but in His.
Yeah.
And He's strengthened me with every decision I've made along those lines. I want to convict myself. But I shouldn't. Should I? He's not.
Amen.
It says, there is therefore no condemnation of them who walk in the Spirit. So, walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh if you walk in the Spirit,
Amen.
The Word says. So, walk in the Spirit. There's life and peace there.
Hallelujah.
You can only do that with walking His Word. So, do a heart check today.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I guess that's it. I feel a release there, so.